Guys, if you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance. I serve as a lead pastor here at Bethel. So glad that you guys are here with us today. We're in a series that we have entitled Faith Works. And what we have been doing is we have been walking through the book of James. The book of James is in the New Testament. If you did not know, the guy who wrote the book of James is probably named what? James, obviously. And James is actually Jesus' little brother. And so James got to watch Jesus grow up. And so one of the things I love about James is actually one of the testimonies that we have as believers that Jesus is who he says he is. James, I mean, I don't know about you, but growing up with someone and them calling themselves God would probably be a little bit weird, wouldn't it? And James was just like you and I. You would never believe if your brother was calling himself Lord. Calling himself God. James was the same way. It wasn't until Jesus rose from the dead, James actually came in contact with the resurrected Lord that he realized that my little brother is God in the flesh. So James, when he got converted to Christianity, he actually became a pastor. And he pastored in a city called Jerusalem. He spent his entire ministerial career in Jerusalem. And James, like any good local church pastor, was very practical in how he communicated. So we have a whole book that he wrote to you and I as the church, and it's a book that is so good because it's very practical. Oftentimes, I hear people say things like, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, I'm here to tell you, read the book of James, because the book of James is a book that you can understand and apply to your life, which is very important as we're following Jesus. Not just to know the word, but actually apply the word to our life. And really what we have done throughout this book and throughout this series is talked about, because James talks about over and over and over again, how you and I, as followers of Christ, that we're going to face trials. We're going to face tests. We're going to face struggles. We're going to face difficult things of life. If anybody told you that being a Christian was all about sweet-smelling roses, easy, they lied to you. Christianity is about walking through the difficult moments of life, facing painful situations, facing things that cause you to cry out, like Pastor Travis said, God, where are you? Have any of y'all felt that before? Some of you might be like that today. God, why haven't you answered this prayer that I've been praying now for many years? God, why haven't you changed this situation, this relational situation, this financial situation? Lord, my job situation. God, I've been talking to you about this for a while now. Yesterday I spoke to a lady at our church, and she talked to me just about, she said, Pastor Lance, she said, I really just felt like that God had abandoned me. These are real feelings. These are real emotions. These are real struggles that we go through. James understood that. And this is why all throughout this book, and we're going to see continuing today, he talks about and gives you and I practical ways that how you and I can actually walk out our relationship with God through the test, through the trials, through the pain, and through the suffering. Because what happens many times is through the pain, through the suffering, we either want to quit or we quit. But God's saying there's another way that we can respond. That we can trust in him, keep our eyes on him, and actually push through the pain, push through the suffering. Now, one of the things that happens as we face trials, as we face tests, is we oftentimes, our hearts become very unsettled, don't they? Fear, anxiety, doubt begins to arise on the inside of us. Today, here's what I'm believing is going to happen by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit today is going to speak peace to your heart today. There's going to come stability. Stability is going to come to your heart and to your life today. James is very concerned about that. He talks about it over and over again in his book. He talks about how he doesn't want us to be unstable. He doesn't want us to be like a ship in a storm on the waters tossed to and fro. That James actually wants you and I to be stable, to have a heart of peace, a heart of stability, when we walk through the test, through the trials, as we're following after Jesus. I believe as we look today, that's going to happen. Here's the thing that James, we're going to read verses 7 through 11 today. here's the thing that James is calling us to do through the trials and through the tests. And this is actually one of the signs that we should carry with us to know that we're growing in our relationship with God, is we should possess this character trait. And this character trait oftentimes is like a cuss word to me. And that is the word character trait of patience. Oh, Lord. Now, I took a little poll, first and second service. How many of you would say that men are more patient than women? Would anybody vote that direction? Men are more patient than women? All right, we got a few. What about the other way? Women are more patient than men. Anybody vote that way? I would actually agree with the women. I believe that women are a lot more patient than men. Men, we are prone to impatience. And impatience, whether you're a man or a woman, will get you in trouble. Impatience will cause you to find yourself in a relationship you wish you would have never got in. Just because of what? Man, I wish I would have been more patient. Impatience will cause you to make a financial decision that you wish you would have never made. God, I wish I would have just been a little bit more patient. Impatience will cause you to move to a job or to a city that you necessarily, you're driving down the road in the moving truck and you think to yourself, how in the world did I get myself into this? If I could just been a little bit more patient. Patience. Let me tell you something, guys. It really is a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible calls it long-suffering. See, that's what patience is. It's long-suffering in this trial, in the test, in the circumstance. And here's the other thing that patience speaks to. Not just long-suffering when we're walking through difficult times. It also speaks of being long-suffering with people. I don't know about you, but circumstances sometimes are a lot more easy to be long-suffering in than with people. People oftentimes can drive you crazy. You might say, I'm in the situation or the circumstance because of the people, not necessarily because of me. But James is really going to address both of these as we talk today about how can you and I, as followers of Jesus, how can we remain patient? Knowing that impatience causes us to make very bad decisions. Therefore, you and I, we need to have our ears open today because God wants to teach us how to be patient really by the Spirit, not by our own flesh. See, oftentimes in the struggle, we can do what I call white knuckling. You know what that means? That means we grip our hand. Oh, I can do this. I can make it through. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do today is actually birth His patience in us and allow that to live through us. Where it's not, oh, I can do it. It's God, you're doing this through me. Amen? So right when we come into verse 7, James says, be patient. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm like, James, that doesn't help me at all. It's kind of like when somebody says when you're going through something difficult, they say, man, you just need to trust God. You just need to stand on the word. You just need to believe in the gospel. Well, yeah, that sounds good, but tell me how in the world to do it because it's difficult to do. So he goes on. He says, be patient. Therefore, brothers, he's talking to you two ladies, or sisters, until, and here's our thing. I'm going to give you, if you're new here to Bethel, oftentimes just give 1 point, but today I'm going to be real generous. I'm going to give you 5 points. Man, I'm in a blessed mood today. 5 points. They're going to be quick, but they're going to be good. You're not going to be here forever. Don't worry. I'll get you out on time to watch the football game. 5 points of how you and I can actually allow this fruit of the Spirit to be birthed in us. And he says it right here. Here's the first one. He says, be patient, number one, until the coming of the Lord. See, here's how you and I can be patient. First and foremost, we have to anticipate the Lord's coming and live in light of it. Now, this is good. See, he says, until the coming of the Lord. That word coming in the Greek is the word parousia. We see this all throughout the New Testament. And what this means is simply this. You and I, as New Testament believers, we live in what's called the doctrine of imminency. And what that simply means is this, is that Jesus has come, but not fully come. Not fully. It means His kingdom has come, but it has not fully come. See, Jesus Christ has come. This was His first coming. And He came with a mission. And His mission was to die on the cross for you and I. Judgment, the wrath of God, is coming upon man, upon God's creation, upon us as human beings. But he loved us so much, he sent his only son to die for you and I. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus took the wrath of God, the punishment of God for us. This is why first he came. But we know that he died. He rose on the third day. But guess what? He ascended into heaven, but he says he's coming back again. See, there is something called the second coming of Jesus. Pastor Lance, when's he coming back? I don't know. Jesus even told us that he don't even know. He said only the Father knows. Jesus is returning. And so this is good news for us. Facing trials, facing tests, facing the difficult pains and sufferings of life is to know that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, he is coming not just to die for sin. He already did that, but he's here to do what? Guess what? Destroy sin. He's coming back to annihilate it, to remove it. See, a lot of us have been taught wrong when it comes to the second coming of Jesus. We think that Jesus is coming and he's going to burn up everything. Listen, God's not burning up his creation. He's renewing his creation. He's redeeming his creation. This world is not going to burn. The Bible says what? The kingdom of heaven is coming to what? On earth as it is in heaven. A lot of times we think we're trying to get out, but in us trying to get out, guess what God's trying to do? He's trying to get in. God is coming to restore, coming to redeem, coming to bring creation back into the order that it was before sin came onto the scene. Now, this is why we can have great hope. Because, see, if we just live for the now, man, you're talking about a hopelessness setting into your souls. But when you live for what is to come, it causes you to have what we call an eternal mindset. See, it's not just I anticipate the Lord's coming, but get that, it says that I live in light of it. That means I make decisions in light of, man, this Jesus is coming back. It brings great hope. Listen, if you've ever, because when we talk about tests, we talk about trials, we're also talking about the very difficult things of life. Talking about losing loved ones. Talking about facing miscarriages. Those are tough, tough things. Tough things. Those acts cause you to cry out and say, God, what in the world is going on? But if we have this hope that this isn't all there is, that the loved ones that we have lost, that they've given their life, man, we can believe what? That we're going to see them again. See, he's not just coming. He's coming with the host of heaven. He's coming with those who have gone, who have died before he comes. Jesus, we have a hope that this world cannot offer when we look to that second coming. Amen? Man, what great hope. This is how we're patient. Number two, he continues on. I'm sorry, he says stick with number one. He actually gives us an example here. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. He gives us an example of this farmer. Every farmer, especially in these days that he's talking about, man, they had to be patient. Because the farmer would plant the seed, and what the farmer had to do was to step back, and with great expectancy, he or she had to trust in the providence of God. There wasn't any sprinkler systems back in those days. So what was he trusting in? He tells us here, he trusted in the rain. The rain came twice a year in the nation, it still does today, really in the nation of Israel. And so what this farmer had to do is all he could do was plant the seed. And then this farmer had to step back and trust in that God is provident, that he is faithful to his word, that he's going to do what he has done, because get this farmer has done this before. Every farmer knows, because they've grown up doing this, and they have seen God being faithful year after year. I plant, God waters. And so when we talk about the providence of God, we're talking about the faithfulness of God. This farmer knew, I'm going to plant the seed and expect to say I'm stepping back, knowing that my God is faithful and that he is going to meet my need. This is what we do. This is why prayer is vital as we're walking through those difficult times. Because prayer is you and I, in a sense, planting seeds in God's garden. See, I've said this before. Every prayer that you pray, every word that you speak out of your mouth does not evaporate before God. That is so good. That means things that you have prayed about, you have forgotten about, God remembers those prayers. And he answers those prayers in due time and in due season. But we, just like this farmer, we plant our prayers in faith, and then we have to step back in patience with great expectancy, saying, God, you are faithful, and at the end of the day, Lord, I'm trusting in you. See, the Bible says through faith and what? And patience, we inherit the promises. He goes on. He says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So we have to anticipate the Lord's coming and live in light of it. And here comes number two. He says, do not grumble against one another, brothers or sisters, so that you may not, this is key, be judged. Behold, that means pay attention. The judge is standing at the door. Number two is this. We have to recognize the Lord's judgment and live in the fear of it. Now, the good news for you and I is, yes, he's coming back. He's coming back to judge, but he's not coming back to judge those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yes, you and I will give an account of our life, but we don't stand in the seat of judgment. Guess who did that for us? Jesus did that for us. Jesus was judged, and when we trust in him, we hand our sin to him, and he received the wrath of God, the punishment of God for you and I. So Jesus, for you and I, is coming to judge every wicked thing that has been done against us. See, again, I talked about how some of us find ourselves in a circumstance because of someone else, what someone else has done for you. Someone else has violated you. Someone else has said something bad about you. And in that, what begins to happen? Anger begins to arise. Bitterness begins to arise. Vengeance. I want justice. I want vengeance. But here's the thing, friend. Your judge, he's coming back. And he's coming to judge. See, the Bible, God says in his word, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't have to be the avenger. He is your great avenger. He will take vengeance on the sin and the wickedness. Man, this is good news that has been done to you. So therefore, you can do what? You can release those who have harmed you or those who have hurt you. You can say, God, I forgive them. I release them. Lord, I am no longer going to allow them to hold me back for what you have for me. That's what bitterness and anger and all of that does. It holds us back from where God's taking us. You can trust that this great judge, that he's coming. See, I can recognize the Lord's judgment, and I can live in fear of that. Number three, he goes on. He says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, he says, look at the prophets. Take those of old, all the examples we have in the Old Testament, who spoke in the name of the Lord. Number three is we follow the Lord's servants and we live in the pattern of them. All throughout this Bible, guys, we have people that faced difficult things. And we can actually look at their example and see how they responded. Moses to Abraham to Daniel to Isaiah, all these great men and women that did great things for the Lord. And the one thing that they had, see, they didn't have a Bible like we have today. What they had is what he just said, the name of the Lord. They spoke. It wasn't the name of Jesus because Jesus hadn't showed up on the scene yet. It was what? Yahweh, the Most High, El Elyon, El Shaddai, the Almighty. That's the name that they spoke. And they would constantly quote his name. His name showed them that what? They could be, that he could be trusted. See, they were not speaking his name so that God, for God, they were speaking it for themselves because it got brought strong encouragement. It brought great comfort to them. They trusted in the name. You and I have these examples that we can look at. I think about David, this guy named King David who was a shepherd, but yet God said, David, you're one day going to be king. There was such a difference between how David and Saul, how they walked in their relationship with God. Saul was a man that got impatient. David was a man of great patience. I think about the story when Saul, he was about to take the nation of Israel, his army, into battle. And there was a law that basically stated before they went into battle, there was a sacrifice that had to be made. And there was only one person that could do that sacrifice. And that actually was the priest. And at that time, his name was Samuel. And Samuel to Saul was showing up a little bit late because Saul began to hear the opposing army. He began to hear them come against them or come at them. And so Saul got impatient. He got a little bit nervous. And so what did Saul do? Saul actually did the sacrifice himself. He took the animal and he sacrificed it. Samuel shows up and he begins to smell the burnt offering. He's thinking, what have you done? See, Saul got impatient. You think about King David. King David was a man of patience. Where did David get this patience from? We read all throughout the book of Psalms. It came by him speaking the name of God. David knew how to praise the Lord. He knew how to speak his name. He knew how to bless God. And it produced great confidence in him. Therefore, he could do what? Be patient. We're going to do a series next week you don't want to miss. All about talking about praise and worship. Talking about why do we lift our hands? Why do we clap our hands? Why do we sing songs on a Sunday morning? It's because, friends, let me tell you, David knew, as we know, there is power in praise, but there's also patience in praise. This fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest in us as we praise God, because what praise does is praise, get this, puts us in the proper perspective in which we live. That God is sovereign, that He is almighty, that He is in control, that He is faithful, that I can trust Him, that I can put my confidence in Him. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. No matter what's happening in my life, God, you're going to get me through this. Amen? We have to follow the Lord's servants and live in the pattern of them. He goes on in verse 11. He says, behold, or again, pay attention. He said, we consider those blessed who remained, I love this, or endured steadfast. See, number four is this. We have to understand the Lord's blessing, get this, and live in the promise of it. Friends, it's in the trial. It's in the hardship. It's in the pain that we actually experience God the most. He goes on and talks about Job. Job faced more suffering than you and I could ever possibly face. He lost not just one family member. He lost everybody. He lost everything. But yet, there was something that happened to Job. He began to see that there is meaning and purpose in what I am going through. What began to happen is Job began to see God more clearly. I'm telling you, there is tremendous growth for you right now, wherever you're at, right there in that circumstance that you're in. Tremendous growth for you. If we simply just turn and say, God, I'm putting my trust in you. I'm telling you, growth, Christ-likeness, you growing your relationship with God, it's like it gets fast forward. Because you begin to see God more clearly. Here's the thing about, it's kind of like, I like to say that this Bible here, see this Bible, it's full of promises. Promises for us. But the thing is, friend, you have to know those promises. You got to get in here and find those promises. Lord, what's your word saying? You got to eat these promises. And then you got to learn, as you read me, I say, okay, God, I'm going to stand on this. Meaning, I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to get my hands involved. Because I know if I do, I'm going to mess this thing up. Lord, I'm going to simply step back. Say, God, I can trust in you. And I'm going to stand on this word. Here's the thing about this word. One of the things I have at my home, it's called a DVR. You know what a DVR is? DVR is where you can tape and, thank God, fast forward all the commercials. You can watch your favorite shows, your games. I tape everything, especially on Sunday because I'm here all day and I love to watch NFL football. But the thing about the DVR, the great thing about the DVR is, man, I don't have to sit through the game and be anxious, is my team going to win? I can just simply do what? Hit the fast forward button. Zzz, all the way to the end. And see, man, I don't have to live through all that worry and fear. Oh, God, are they going to win? My team's the Titans. They're awful, so I know they're not going to win, but maybe you have a team that has a chance. I don't have to go through the emotional pain of watching them. I'll just fast forward to the end. See, here's the thing about this word. This word is like a DVR for you and I. We get to fast forward, guess what, to the end. We get to see what happens. We win at the end of the day. The victory belongs to us. Well, Pastor Lance, I'm not experiencing it. Here's the thing. You might not experience everything that you want to experience right here. This is why, as believers, we look to what? What is to come. Because ultimately, this victory, again, it's here, but not fully here. It's going to be fully here soon. How soon? I don't know. But it's coming. And that leads to number five. Last thing. He says, you heard of the steadfastness of Job. We talked about that. And he says, and you have seen the Lord's purpose, or the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Here's number five. Number five is this. We realize the Lord's purpose and live in the moment of it. See, this is the tough thing about going through what we're talking about today. It's so many times in the pain, in the struggle, we want out of it, don't we? We're like, God, get me out of this. This is tough. This is difficult. I don't like it. But if we can just stop and pause just for a moment and say, God, there is purpose to my pain. There's purpose in this trial. There's purpose in this test. And not just say that, but guess what? Live in the moment of it. Listen, this is easy to preach and hard to live. I understand. But in the moment, so many times we want to get out of the moment, but in the moment, if we can just stop and say, God, and ask ourselves this question, this is a great question. God, what are you doing in me? What are you doing in me? What are you doing in me? God, I want to run from this moment. God, I want to get out of this. And here's the thing. Eventually, you will. I'm not saying that where you're at is always going to be. But if we go through something that's like losing a loved one, we don't forget about stuff like that. That's carried with us. So God, what do you want to do in me? Amen? We can do these things. Again, it's asking the Holy Spirit to help us. We're going to pray here in a moment to ask Him. Spirit of God, help me. Help me to anticipate your return. Lord, help me to live in light that you're coming back. Lord, help me recognize, Lord, your judgment. God, help me follow the Lord's servants. God, help me understand the blessing. And Lord, help me realize that there's purpose in whatever I'm going through. And Lord, I want to live in the moment. I don't want to miss what you want to do in me. Why don't we stand to our feet? Father, we thank you. This is a moment for us to kind of take a deep breath. Because what's happened as we have talked is hopefully God has given you a new way to think about what you're going through. So Lord, help us today, God. We just simply, we pause just here for a moment. All of us are facing difficult things. All of us going through something in our life. All of us are asking ourselves the question, God, Lord, what's going on, sir? Lord, I thank you that you're saying today that, Lord, you're not mad at us. It's not necessarily something we have done. Lord, it's just, Lord, you're growing us. Lord, you're conforming us into your image, and you're using everything that we face, Lord, to do that. So today, God, I thank you that you're not allowing us by your grace to run, but to really stand, to stand on your promises, to stand on your word, Lord, and to put our trust in you like never before. This is the moment, guys, for every one of us as our heads are bowed, is simply just say today, say, God, I don't have my questions answered. I don't know what's going on, but God, I'm trusting in you. I'm taking a step of faith today, and I'm saying today, God, I'm trusting in you, and through that, Lord, I thank you that patience is rising in every one of us today. Lord, to endure the hard times, to be steadfast, and to not give up. Father, we thank you for that grace, that patience that you're placing in us today. Lord, I thank you that the spirit of faith is arising like never before, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap this morning. Come on. Thank you, Lord. You know, guys, last thing before we dismiss is that we're selling T-shirts. Our big night of hope, guys, is coming up on November the 18th. You got a flyer when you came through the door at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Invite a friend. But also, guys, we're all going to have our T-shirts. So hopefully we'd love for you to pick up a T-shirt. They're $10 right by Connection Point table. Man, we're believing to bring this city to show a picture, really to paint a picture of what can happen, that you and I, when it comes to different ethnicities, different people groups, if we come together, God does something great. Amen? So we want you to put that in your calendar, pick up a t-shirt as you go out today. Guys, listen, we believe in the power of prayer here at Bethel. Our prayer team can come on down front. We have people.